Welcome into the Mashup, your number one source for sports gaming and everything in between. Got a great show planned for you today. Got plenty of stuff to talk about. Got the COD update, got NFL divisional round, got some college basketball chaos, and some CDL. 1 week away from the major. We are going to get all into all of that on today's episode. But first, they dominate everything, and it drives me insane, but that's the way the world works. Let's talk about the NFL. The games last weekend were so freaking boring because they were all but one game was a complete and utter blowout. Outside of that single 1 point game, some score differentials: 31, 19, 16. And most of those points to get it down to 16 were scored in garbage time. 14 and 23. These games were all super freaking boring. Like, the Dolphins made it vaguely interesting in the second quarter. It was only 16-7. And then they didn't score for the rest of the game. And it exactly like I said, and everyone said, because it was so blatantly obvious that the pass-happy Dolphins offense would not do all that well in the very sub-zero temperatures in Kansas City on Saturday night. It looked absolutely miserable out there. And of course, normally when someone has a gear it, I mean, people are saying, oh, Mahomes got special treatment. They were going to win by 19 no matter what. But it is annoying that Mahomes did get the special treatment of, oh yeah, his helmet exploded and the Chiefs didn't have to burn a timeout or bring him out for a play to get the man a new helmet. But I'm not going to call conspiracy on that one. The Chiefs were the better team. I still think they're going to lose to the Bills. I do. I think right now the Bills are better than them. Most of the scoring, 12 of those 26 points, really, actually no, because it was 14, because two extra points on their two touchdowns. So 14 points of Chiefs offense came from their kicker. Now, two of those 14 points were extra points, so they had to score touchdowns first, but All of their points in the second and third quarters came from Butker. Like, they didn't see the end zone. They saw the end zone once at the very beginning of the game, like first drive. It took less than 4 minutes. And then they didn't score again till the fourth quarter. So forgive me for not having a... I mean, it was cold as balls. The cold was obviously going to affect them too, but forgive me for not having a whole lot of faith in the Chiefs' offense against a team that was capable of beating the Dolphins multiple times this season. And, you know, just beat the crap out of the Steelers, who everyone thought were so amazing because they're the Steelers, and Mike Tomlin, who isn't actually that good of a coach. I will die on that hill that Mike Tomlin is not that good of a coach. He's a good coach. He's just not as good as everyone says he is. He's like, oh yeah, being over five, like, sure, he's been over 500 every year he's been a head coach, but the last few seasons they have, them being 500 is dubious at best, and then they still get their shit rocked in the wild card. So, like, oh yeah, he's over 500. They made the playoffs, but was it really worth it? Because they're not going to get a good draft pick this year. losing in the wild card round, when does that put your pick out of 32? Because 32 is the Super Bowl winner, 31's the runner up. 30 and 29 are the teams that lose in the conference championship games. How many teams are going to... four teams are going to lose in the divisional. So 28 through 20... 28, 27, 26, 25... 28 through 25 are the divisionals. And then losing in wild card... six teams lose in the wild card, right? Because there's six games. And then six teams lose in the wild card. So that puts your pick somewhere in the low 20s. That you're not going to get... like a franchise changing guy at that position. The Steelers need to blow it up and rebuild. I don't want them to. As a Ravens fan, I don't want them to. I enjoy them being terrible. Because even when they're terrible, they still make the games against the Ravens competitive. And even then, when they're terrible, the Ravens usually still beat them. Like, I know the Ravens went 0-2 against the Steelers this year, but their odds on favorites to win the Super Bowl. So I'll take 0-2 against the Steelers if I'm standing on the side of Light Street screaming my lungs out in a month. Like, that's just how it goes. I'm freezing my ass off because it was really cold at the last one. It was very cold. I was like triple layered. I had basketball shoes and basketball socks on that are, you know, thicker. Did nothing. Still lost feeling in my feet within like an hour and a half, but it was worth it. But yeah, that's, you know, The Steelers, they're the Steelers. Like, they just barely squeak. The fact that they're the ones now that are just barely squeaking into the playoffs and celebrating going, what, 9-8? Oh, 10-7. Yeah, congratulations. You would have been 9-8 if the Ravens didn't rest their starters. And all that celebrating you did in the Ravens locker room, like you just won the fucking Super Bowl. That's called karma, bitch. It's why part of me wanted the Ravens to beat up the Steelers just to prove, like, hey, you may have all these straight wins in Baltimore, but like one of them is against Lamar Jackson. If that, like, just like the Bengals and all their shit talking, like in the Joe Burrow era, the Bengals have beaten Lamar Jackson once. So, Steelers, you're no better than the fucking Karen Cats. You know, complaining about the game getting moved to Monday. You lost by 14. Honestly, the game getting moved to Monday helped you. Because ignoring the weather, if that game was played on Sunday, like it was supposed to be played, or whenever that game was supposed to be played, it might have been on Saturday. That game was supposed to be on Sunday. If that game was supposed to be played on Sunday, if that game was played on Sunday, like it was supposed to be, assuming you don't have an actual blizzard blow through the Buffalo area and the entire East Coast, like, the Bills win by even more. I hope Steelers fans understand that. Like, you lose by even more if you play that game at the proper time in better weather. Because it's Buffalo in January. It's still going to be really fucking cold. But, yeah, like, losing by 14 in the snow was the best you were going to get. You're not actually that good this year. Like, oh yeah, you beat the Ravens twice. The first game, the one in Pittsburgh at the beginning of the season, was a fluke before the Ravens really found themselves. and were still shaking off whatever the hell they were doing last season with blowing all those leads. And the win in Baltimore came when we already clinched the entire AFC and didn't need to worry about playing Lamar Jackson. He didn't play a single snap. And you just barely won that game. So, yeah, losing by 14 to the Bills is about as good as you were going to get. as far as the Texans-Brown game goes, obviously the Texans were the better team. And clearly, Joe Flacco completed his mission as a double agent for the Baltimore Ravens to keep the Browns' heads from getting too big and remind them whose division this is. The Karen Cats got that reminder all season long, and it was glorious. But this past weekend, it was the Browns and the Steelers' turns. As far as this weekend goes, I expect it to be a good game because the Texans are good. And like D'Amico Ryans has played against the Ravens as a player. And CJ Stroud is a very good young quarterback. But Lamar Jackson's out to make a statement. CJ Stroud will get his. Don't worry, Texans fans. I actually really like CJ Stroud. He will get his, and it will be relatively soon. But this year, I think Lamar and the Ravens are out to send a message like, oh, hey, I finally have good wide receivers. Let me prove to you racist haters that I'm a good quarterback. And yeah, I'm calling all the people who are still haters racist. Like because that's the only thing you could possibly still have against Lamar Jackson being a good quarterback. It's truly the only thing you could still have. Because he's going to win a second MVP, at the very least. He's the number one seed. The Ravens are the number one seed in the entire NFL. Just how it goes. But as far as this weekend goes, I'm taking the Ravens. The Ravens are not losing a home playoff game with the best team they've had in years. Like, this is better than the 2019 team significantly. And the Texans don't have a Derrick Henry. And speaking of Derrick Henry, Mike Vrabel also felt the hammer of karma, that raging asshole who's just all the worst of Bill Belichick with none of the success to back it up. Can't stand that guy, and I'm very happy he is no longer the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, because they have Malik Willis, and I don't want to hate him. I'm glad the Steelers didn't take him, because that would have hurt. Steelers taking Malik Willis? That would have hurt. It's been 2 years. I still remember my reaction when the Steelers were picking in the first round. I was like, please don't take Malik, please don't take Malik, please don't take Malik. It's like, oh, thank God they took the wrong guy. Because Kenny Pickett's not good. Kenny Pickett is very bad. I think the Niners will beat the Packers, because again, like, if this game was at Lambeau, I think it would be a little bit different, because I assume it's going to be really freaking cold in Green Bay this weekend, because it's going to be really freaking cold here. If this game was at Lambeau, I would say maybe Green Bay has a chance. But since it is in Santa Barbara, oh yeah, it's going to be really cold. yeah, the high on Saturday is 15 degrees. So, yeah, if it was in Green Bay, maybe the Packers would have a chance, but in San Fran, no way. The Niners are winning that one. Like, the Niners and the Ravens are clearly on a collision course as we head towards the Super Bowl. Like, ever since that Monday Night Football game where the Ravens came out and made a statement on national TV to all the fucking haters looking at you, Mike Florio. And in the words of Lamar Jackson, his little podcast, which, like, I get 5 listeners an episode. I know what I am, but, like, Mike Florio is just a dick. So, yeah, I think the Ravens and Niners will win the Saturday games. Bucks-Lions is going to be interesting. Bucks-Lions is very interesting because I think the Lions are the better team. Having home field will help, but that one could really go either way. And I think the Bills are going to beat the Chiefs. I think the Bills are going to beat the Chiefs again, and Chiefs fans will be bitching on Twitter for the next week. Guaranteed. Because that's just how it goes when the Chiefs lose. They bitch and complain about how the refs are trying to screw them without seeing a lick of irony in that sentiment. If Mahomes got the calls Lamar gets, Kansas City would be assaulting refs on a regular basis. Or more, doesn't get the call. Like, if roughing the passer was called on Mahomes the way it's called on Lamar Jackson, now that the refs have established a trend that you can't breathe on Patrick Mahomes, and if you do, he's going to immediately look at the ref and start crying. If they switched it up and Mahomes got the calls Lamar gets, you would be calling for the refs' heads on a regular basis. So yeah, I think the Bills are going to win that game. So those are my predictions. If you're so inclined, do with them what you will. As far as the spreads go, I think no matter what, the Bucks are covering. Win or lose, the Bucks are covering, because that's going to be a really close game. That's going to be within a single touchdown. Ravens and Niners both cover -9. That's nothing for these two teams at home. First playoff game for both of them of the season. They've had a week to recover and study film. Yeah, no, like, and gonna be cold as balls in Baltimore this weekend. The Texans play in a dome. Every advantage weather wise points to the home teams for the Saturday games. So yeah, both home teams are gonna cover. And I think the Bills do cover because, like, they're going to win by a touchdown. They're going to win by at least a touchdown. So the Bills will absolutely cover and get Ravens, Bills, in Baltimore. And I think Lions win, Bucks cover is what I'm going to say. So we get Niners, Lions in the NFC Championship game in San Francisco, which would be absolutely freaking insane. That if you told me at the beginning of the season, the Detroit Lions would be playing in the NFC Championship game, but I believe they have a genuine chance to. And, like, I think the Niners are going to win and probably cover that -9, but no disrespect to the Packers. I don't know how they keep getting away with finding the same freaking quarterback. Because they have now had 3 straight guys at quarterback. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. When did an unbroken line, I mean, Brett Favre, terrible person, don't get me wrong, like, truly terrible person, but an unbroken 21-year line from 1992 to 2023. That is an entire college student. Or no, I did the math wrong. That is 31 years. That's not even an entire college student. That isn't like kids born the year Brett Favre became the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers probably have multiple kids of their own by now. Like, that is a very real possibility that is on the table. An unbroken 31-year line of having the guy at quarterback. That is insane. And they all play identically. They all have the same style of play. I don't know how they do it. They just keep finding the same guy over and over and over again. I would love to know their secret. That across three different people, they've essentially had the same quarterback for the last 30 years. Ugh. I don't get it. I don't get how one of the most inept front offices in all of sports continues to find these guys at quarterback. I don't get it. Like, truly an unbroken line for 30 years. I wasn't even alive. And I wouldn't be for another 2+ years when Brett Favre became the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. A job he held, by the way, for 15 years. I truly don't get it. I truly, genuinely do not get it. And Jordan Love is probably also going to be the Packers starter for the next 15 years. I don't know how they keep doing it. And then they'll find another guy who plays exactly like Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love. Ugh. So there's my rant for the episode this week. I have more, don't you worry. But there's my football rant. But that's what I got for the NFL. Up next, we are going to switch gears. Last week of qualifiers before the Boston Major. We got some Call of Duty League coming up next. On the mashup. Hey, do you really like the mashup and want to help support it even more?
Of course I do. You're so awesome.
Well, do I have good news for you? I now have a Barstool Sports Store affiliate link.
Oh, what the heck is that?
An affiliate link is a link that takes you directly to the Barstool Store, but has some extra coding in it to let them know that I sent you, so I get some of the money from the sale in return.
That's so cool!
Yes, it is, and it helps me put out better and better content for you. And maybe does enough to get Barstool's attention that they'll give me a job. All you have to do is go to barstool-sports.pxf.io/themashup. That's barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup and get some merch. Doesn't matter what you get, you'll be supporting me and the mashup. And you get a cool t-shirt, hoodie, flag, or whatever else you want in return. So go to barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup today and help me grow this podcast even more. All right, let's talk some CDL. And I got a bone to pick with Sledge on this one. I mean, I'm sure this is 100%, like, I want to believe this is Activision's fault. I want to believe this is somehow, like, Joe Sekhot, Activision. I want to believe this is their fault. Because why in the hell would you change all of the rotations right before a major? The first major is next week. Why would you change the rotations on 4 of the hardpoint maps? How many hardpoint maps are there? League competitive settings, let's see. There are 5. They changed the hardpoint rotations on 4 of them. Oh, wait. Yeah, there's 5. Invasion, Karachi, Skid Row, Subbase, and Terminal. They changed... I think they actually changed the hardpoint rotations on all 5. They definitely changed one Terminal. Terminal plays completely different. So does Subbase. I mean, Subbase... Don't get me wrong. The rotations on Subbase needed to be changed, Because if you set up properly, you could rack up 120 points on that P2 to P3 rotation. If you set up properly, you could just end a game on the first rotation of points between P2 and P3 because they're so close to each other. Like, if you know how to control the spawns and you know how to hold that rotation, it was so easy to chain points. But why would you change it the day Ranked was supposed to come out? Screw over Challengers, because they're playing this weekend in Boston. Like, I don't understand the logic here. And they nerfed the MCW and, like, half of its meta attachments into the ground. Because, let's see the list here. Yeah, MCW got a 10% increase in its base sprint to fire time from 220 milliseconds to 241. The Cyclone Long Barrel, which every pro uses, decreased damage range, bullet velocity, sprint to fire. Increased sprint to fire time penalty by 1%. Decreased hip fire spread penalty by 5%. Decreased tactical stance penalty by 5. The stock, oh my god, the RB Regal stock, like the big, like, the Scar stock, essentially. Decreased gun kick control by 11%, horizontal and vertical recoil by 5% each. Increased sprint speed penalty by 3%. Increased tactical sprint speed penalty by 3%. And increase sprint to fire speed penalty by 1%. The Jack Raven kit, I'm pretty sure that's banned in CDL, but that also got nerfed. Actually, that got buffed. Yeah, increase the Jack Raven kit got buffed. It was already broken. Thank God it's banned. Yeah, They nerfed the hell out of the MCW, both the gun itself and its two most common attachments. Like, outside of the Mark III reflector, which is a 1X sight. Like, you can't do a whole lot to nerf that thing. Like, it's a 1X sight, and it's a 1X sight from Vanguard. Oh yeah, and trophies don't destroy cruise missiles anymore. Like, but why? Why would you change so much? I mean, the spawns and the points needed changing, but my God, take it a little slower. And, you know, don't nerf the primary AR into the freaking ground. When everyone's already GA'd its most viable alternative. Like, the Holger got GA'd day 2 after the game launched, and everyone started using the MCW. Now the MCW got hit with the Nerf Hammer so hard, you may as well you may as well call it the Nerf Ultra Strike. Yes, I did look up the names of Nerf guns. Look up the Nerf Ultra Strike and tell me it doesn't look like the MCW. But yeah, this update sucks because ranked play got delayed because there was a catastrophic bug or some other, like, developer buzzwords. So ranked is completely broken. And as funny as, and just the pure karma of yesterday, these two dumbasses came out and said, oh yeah, Biffle could absolutely destroy the CDL. One, I don't know who the fuck Biffle is. Apparently he's a good Warzone player. And said all you do is sit there and hold an angle. You definitely don't sit there and hold an angle in the CDL. You have to control spawns. You have to learn your rotations. Like, yeah, you heard hold an angle in Surf, but have you seen how Warzone players play lately? all the bitching about people playing a team game as a team. So I'm glad Warzone's totally fucked. I'll come out and say it. Because maybe all the people who have been exclusively playing Warzone for the past 4 years will finally have to play something else. Oh my God, the horrors. We just came out of one of the best years in gaming history, but you can't play Warzone. Oh no. Go play fucking Baldur's Gate or something and actually act like you can experience the touch of a woman ever in your life. And that obviously is not directed at all Warzone players. It's just directed at the ones I really hate. Like, oh, Halo needs a battle royale if anyone's gonna fucking play it. No, it doesn't. Oh my God, that was a tangent and a half, but I mean, truly, like, if you have only been playing Warzone for the past 4 years, go play something else. Cyberpunk, Armor Core 6. Actually, that might be a little too hard for you. Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor, because I'm sure you missed out on the first one because you were already bashing the entire concept of games with a story. And when you inevitably like Jedi Fallen Order, you have a sequel to play. You don't have to wait 3 years for. Baldur's Gate 3. It won Game of the Year. Spider-Man 2. It was nominated for Game of the Year. And pissed a whole lot of people off when it didn't win. And I love that game. It shouldn't have won. But that's beside the point. There's so many other games to play. And maybe, finally, all of you will get to experience something else for the first time in 4 years. Okay, I'm done with the sarcasm now. Warzone players would absolutely get shit on by CDL players, both in Warzone and competitive multiplayer COD. I thought Scump winning that Warzone solo tournament a couple years ago has already definitively proven this to be indisputable fact. And yeah, for the love of God, for the first time in 4 years, please play something else. And now for the true degenerates out there who are willing to gamble on esports, I have my picks for this week. So these are all the Friday three Friday games in a single parlay again, like I do every week, and then I did Rocker Surge, Optic Phase, Thieves Carolina. I think that's one Saturday game. Rocker Surge is a Saturday game. Thieves Carolina is a Sunday game, and Phase Optic is a Sunday game. So three Friday games, one Saturday game, two Sunday games. And the one Saturday and the two Sundays are parlayed, and the three Fridays are parlayed. So here's my picks for the three Friday games. Optic versus 1.5. Minus Miami. Rocker plus 1.5 versus LAG. I personally think they're going to win outright, but since I put it in a parlay, I played it a little bit safer. And NYSL plus 1.5 against Ultra. I don't get this one because NYSL are somehow heavy moneyline favorites, but are also spread dogs. But yeah, I think NYSL can absolutely cover plus 1.5 against Toronto. I don't get that one. Like, I genuinely don't get that one. I know they suck at Hardpoint, and Hardpoint completely got flipped on its head, but that's what made me more confident in NYSL. They suck at Hardpoint, and Hardpoint just got completely flipped on its head. 2 days before the game. So, you know, take that as you will. And the full parlay odds is plus 292. Individual odds, they're all minus, so it's not huge value. Minus 140, minus 185, and minus 205, respectively. And then my Saturday and Sunday parlay got Rocker plus 1.5 against Surge. Again, Surge almost got reverse swept by Miami and just barely won that map 5 Surge. And screwed my parlay, screwed my Saturday parlay last week. Actually, Optic lost too, because I had them covering against Legion, and they did not. But Optic plus 1.5 against FaZe, that's minus 170 on its own. So halfway decent value there on a pick that's pretty much a lock. Because if Optic and FaZe don't go to game 5, what are we even doing? And Thieves minus 1.5 against Carolina. Thieves need a win. Thieves need a win, and they need a win bad. And Carolina is the perfect team to provide that. And parlay odds on this one, way better, plus 439. Well, better in terms of my payout. Obviously, the odds are technically better on the first one, significantly, because plus 292 is way more likely to happen than plus 439. But hey, those are my picks. They will be on Twitter, and the link will be in the show description. So do with that information what you will. I take full blame for any losses, but I will not reimburse your bets. You can call me an idiot all you want, but it was your choice to follow along with my betting advice when I'm 1-2 at best when betting on the CDL. So do with that information what you will, and that's what I got for really just all of Call of Duty. Up next, it may still only be January, but March is in the air. Just like I said last week, the chaos continues. We're going to talk some college basketball. That's coming up next here on the Mash. Well, chaos continues to reign in college basketball because more ranked teams lost this week. Going all the way back to... did any lose on Saturday? New Mexico did. Or New Mexico won. San Diego State lost on Saturday. Obviously, Oklahoma lost because they were playing in a ranked game. Oh, yeah. Kentucky lost, too. Kentucky lost in overtime. Anybody else? Oh, yeah, Arizona lost. Texas lost. Good Lord. And, of course, number 2, Houston, all lost last weekend. Maryland somehow managed to beat Illinois in Illinois on Sunday. The Terps just absolutely own Brad Underwood, and I think that's hilarious. Because Illinois fans are really fucking annoying. And the fact that Maryland can consistently beat them, and one of their assistant coaches was a total dick in the handshake line. When do the Illini come to College Park? February 17th. That is a Saturday. Oh, good God. Oh, that's not going to be pretty. That is going to be... very ugly. It's going to be very ugly. But New Mexico needs to be ranked, apparently, because they now have 2 ranked wins in 4 days. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. 2 ranked wins in 4 days over San Diego State and Utah State. That's super impressive. Kansas just continues to dominate people. Purdue does too, weirdly. I mean, UConn's the number 1 team in the country now, as they should be, because basically everyone else in the top 5 lost last weekend. Did Purdue lose last weekend? I'm pretty sure they did. Oh yeah, they lost to Nebraska last week. K-State get the big win over Baylor. It's all the Big 12. Look at all of these upsets. It's all the Big 10 and the Big 12. Like, Penn State pulled off the upset over Wisconsin after they got blown the fuck out by Purdue. They got obliterated by Purdue. And then they turn right around 3 days later and beat Wisconsin at home. They lost to Northwestern a week ago. And now they play Ohio State at Ohio State on Saturday. That's going to be interesting. Yeah, Kansas just continues to roll. So does UConn. Like, UConn's playing Creighton as I record this in about 3 hours. I expect them to absolutely dominate that game. And TCU, I don't get this one. They get the huge win over Houston. They get ranked, and they immediately turn right around and lose in overtime to Cincinnati. So, again, the fuck is going on in the Big 12? What are they drinking in that conference that is giving them all these insane upsets? Because they had two on the same day. One of them against a top 10 team who just won the national championship. What, 2 years ago? Two, 3 years ago? When did they win? Did they win in 2021? Baylor men's basketball. When, yeah, 2021. So, yeah, three seasons ago, they won the national championship. They're only 3 years removed from a national championship. And they're a top 10 team losing conference games to Kansas State in overtime. Like, I know Kansas State went on an absolutely insane run last year. But still, like, they're unranked right now. Do they? I don't think they have. No, I think their really good player from last year graduated. I'm totally blanking on his name, which is annoying because he was one of my favorite players to watch in the tournament last year until K-State got bounced. I just totally forgot his name. But yeah, January has already been insane. We're only, what, 2.5 weeks in? We're in the third week of January, and college basketball is already completely freaking insane. So I can only imagine. Like, let's see. Come February 12th, because it happens every year. February 12th is the day after the Super Bowl. Just watch that week. That week, college basketball is going to be absolutely freaking insane. They do it every year. And the week in between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. So the first full week of February. Because the conference championship games will be on the 28th. So that whole week, like the 29th through February 3rd, that week is gonna be insane. And that week will be insane. The next week, it'll kind of die down a little because everyone's going to be focused on the Super Bowl. And then February 12th, it's going to ramp right back up because that's when college basketball just goes into a full sprint on its way to March Madness with the insanity. So I am very prepared for all the chaos that is about to arrive over the coming weeks. I expect more chaos today. Because West Virginia is playing Oklahoma. You never know what West Virginia is going to do. And it's the fucking Big 12. Houston's playing Texas Tech. Honestly, like, Texas Tech is ranked. Houston's ranked way higher. They're 12.5-point favorites. But with how the Big 12 has been going, who knows anymore? I think Arizona will beat USC. USC have not looked all that great. LSU Ole Miss, I could see something crazy happening there. Mississippi State Kentucky, I could see something stupid happening there where Kentucky underperforms again, coming off a pretty embarrassing loss for them. They lost to UNC Wilmington this year. Why does anyone still think they're good? They lost to UNC Wilmington. That should immediately disqualify a power conference team from being considered good. Like, I like the CAA. I wanted Liberty to join the CAA a few years ago before I thought FBS was a possibility. Because, you know, it's better than the Big South. But if you're Kentucky, you should not be losing at home to the team that is currently in fourth place in the Colonial. Team that's fourth place in the A-10? Maybe. That's slightly excusable, because the A-10 is the best mid-major conference. At me, I don't care, because that's 100% true. Yeah, I'm expecting chaos today. I don't expect much tomorrow. Don't expect much on Friday. How about Saturday? Saturday could bring some interesting results, because Seton Hall honestly should be ranked right now, because they keep, like, they're beating ranked teams left, right, and center, and then blowing the crap out of the unranked teams. And they have a home game against Creighton on Saturday. I could see them winning that. Like, they're really hot right now. They're very, very hot right now. And I could see a world where they beat Creighton this weekend. Just throwing that out there into the wind. I think they could beat Creighton this weekend. Much like my other gambling advice, do with that information what you will. But I can't find the spread yet, because the spread's not out yet, because I'm guessing... Oh, wait. I think I clicked on the wrong one. Nope, I did not. Weird that the spread's not out for that game yet. Guess I gotta wait till it's a little bit closer. But yeah, do with that information what you will. If the spread's Creighton minus any number 10 or lower, hammer it. And depending on what the money line is, throw a couple bucks on that too, because I think Seton Hall are probably going to win outright. Just, you know, throwing that to the wind for my faithful listeners. Most of whom live in Delaware and can't even bet on sports on their phones, but, you know, you all live close enough to the border. Come on over. But yeah, I expect some mild chaos on Saturday. Purdue, Iowa has my eye just because I think it could be funny. UCF Houston does too. Georgia, Kentucky, because Georgia put up a fight against Tennessee. And I think Tennessee are better than Kentucky, so I could see a situation where that also happens. I will forever pick against Kentucky. Anyone who has listened to this show for any extended period of time should know that I really hate Kentucky. But yeah, I'm excited for the home stretch here. I know the NFL is going to get a couple more weeks of primary coverage. But I'm like, my NFL team is good, and my brain is still like, I just want March Madness. I'm really excited for March Madness. Like, the Ravens could win a Super Bowl this year, and I'm like locked on March Madness. That I think that tells you what sport is my favorite. But that's what I got for the show this week. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your week. If you bet my picks, tweet at me. Link to the Twitter's in the show description, as always. If we win, we will celebrate together. But like I said, hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your week. And until next time, peace. But now it shows in one shining moment, it's all on the line. In one shining moment, they're frozen in time. But time is short and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye, that moment's gone. And when it's done, win or lose, you always did your best, 'cause inside you knew that in one shining moment you reached deep inside. One shining moment you knew you were alive. Feel the beat of your heart, feel the wind in your face. It's more than a contest, it's more than a race. Always did your best, 'cause inside you knew. In one shining moment, you reached for the sky. In one shining moment, you knew, yeah. In one shining moment, you're willing to try. In one shining moment, you knew. Shine.